Thursday, May 29th. Solemnity of the Ascension of Our Lord. The Epistle from Acts of the Apostles, chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. The former treatise I made, O Theophilus, of all things which Jesus began to do and to teach, until the day on which, giving commandments by the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen, he was taken up, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many proofs, for 40 days appearing to them and speaking of the kingdom of God. And eating together with them, he commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but should wait for the promise of the Father, which you have heard, saith he, by my mouth. For John indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days hence. They therefore who were come together asked him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? But he said to them, It is not for you to know the times or moments which the Father hath put in his own power, but you shall receive the power of the Holy Spirit coming upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, and in all Judea and Samaria, and even to the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had said these things, while they looked on, he was raised up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they were beholding him going up to heaven, behold, two men stood by them in white garments, who also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand you looking up to heaven? This Jesus who is taken up from you into heaven shall so come as you have seen him going into heaven. Haydock Commentary. St. Luke, who was the author of this history, alludes in this verse to his Gospel, which he calls his first discourse. In that he informs us not only of the actions, but also of the doctrines of our Savior. These words, to do and to teach, are the abridgment of the whole Gospel. Here he gives us the Acts of the Apostles, that is, a history of their travels and preaching. In the beginning of this work, he speaks of all the apostles and what they did before their dispersion. As soon as he comes to the mention of St. Paul, he takes notice of no one else, but is entirely taken up with the narrative of his actions. He addresses his book to Theophilus, which signifies a friend of God, or one who loves God, as if he intended to dedicate it to all the faithful who believed in and loved God. But it is more probable that this was some distinct person, well known to St. Luke, and illustrious for his birth, because he gave him the title of Most Excellent. Why did he not appear to all, but only to his disciples? Because to many of them who did not know the mystery, he would have seemed a phantom. For if the disciples themselves were diffident and terrified, and required to touch him with their hands, how would others have been affected? But we know from their miracles the truth of the resurrection, which is made evident to all succeeding generations. You may say, perhaps the apostles did not perform miracles. How then was the world converted? This is a fact which cannot be denied, and that it should have been brought about by 12 poor illiterate fishermen without miracles would be the greatest of all miracles, far beyond the reach of all human means. So says St. John Chrysostom. For 40 days he appeared to them and spoke of the kingdom of God. This plainly indicates unwritten tradition. Wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? Some of them, as St. John Chrysostom observes, had still their thoughts upon a temporal kingdom of the Messiah. Christ, to divert them from such imaginations, tells them their business is to be witnesses of his doctrine and miracles, particularly of his resurrection, even unto the utmost bounds of the earth, to all the nations of the world. The angel said, So shall he come, as you have seen him going. This word going, says Chrysostom, sufficiently intimates that he ascended by his own power, for so will he come by his own power to judge the world. Jesus Christ shall come on the last day, in the same body, in the same majesty, to judge the living and the dead. This he had likewise promised in more than one place in the Gospels, speaking of the vengeance which he will exercise on the city of Jerusalem. St. Jerome, St. Hilary, and many other ancients have believed that the Son of God will appear again on Mount Olivet, and that all people shall be assembled to judgment. And that same body which thus ascended to heaven, and which will thus descend, is given us in the Blessed Sacrament. O miracle, exclaims St. John Chrysostom, he that sitteth with his Father above is at the same time handled by men below. Jesus Christ ascending to heaven both hath his flesh with him above, and hath left it with us below. Elijah being taken up left his disciple Elisha his mantle and double spirit, but the Son of Man ascending left his own flesh for us. Sulpicius Severus and St. Paulinus assure us that the marks of the feet of our Savior were imprinted in the place off which he rose to heaven, and St. Augustine informs us that many in his time went to Judea to venerate these sacred marks. Venerable Bede testifies the same in the 8th century. In the time of Constantine, the Empress Helen built a church on the place. The Gospel from Mark chapter 16, verses 14 through 20. At that time Jesus appeared to the 11 as they were at table, and he upbraided them with their incredulity and hardness of heart, because they did not believe them who had seen him after he was risen again. And he said to them, Go ye into the whole world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be condemned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, and if they shall drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay their hands upon the sick, and they shall recover. And the Lord Jesus, after he had spoken to them, was taken up into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of God. But they, going forth, preached everywhere, the Lord working withal, and confirming the word with signs that followed. Haydock Commentary. If this apparition, as it was the opinion of St. Augustine, was made when St. Thomas was not with them, they were only then 10, without St. Thomas and Judas. The evangelist here calls them 11 because the apostolical college, Judas being dead, consisted of no more than 11. And this way of speaking may be justified by diverse examples. One instance may suffice. A meeting of the Jewish Sanhedrin might be called the Council of the 72, though it many times happened that all the 72 were not there present. Some think that this was the last apparition of Christ after which he quitted the earth and ascended into heaven. Let those weep and lament who have not yet seen him, and in a short time they shall receive consolation. Blessed are they that weep, for they shall be comforted. Perhaps someone will say within himself, I have already believed, I shall be saved. He says true if his faith be supported by good works, for that only is true faith which does not contradict in works what is believed in words. So says St. Gregory. When Scripture speaks of God, it uses such imagery of language as is adapted to our senses, that it may thereby convey to us some imperfect knowledge of those sublime mysteries which are ineffable in themselves and incomprehensible to our understanding. Thus we are informed that Jesus Christ sits at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty, to signify that, as man, our Lord is raised to the height of glory, and to that supreme beatitude than which there is nothing higher, and nothing greater in the whole bliss of heaven, and that he moreover holds the same sovereign dominion with the Father over all creatures, because as God he is equal to the Father in power, in wisdom, and in all perfection. Let us take notice that as the apostles confirmed their words by the signs that followed, so also in us must our words be confirmed by works. Grant, O Jesus, that the discourse we deliver concerning virtue may be confirmed by works and actions, that thus, by thy cooperation, we may become perfect in word and work. For to thee is due the glory of our discourses and actions. So says Theophylactus.